From the Carver Center for Public Radio, this is Ozarks at Large for Friday, March 28, 2014. I'm Kyle Kellums.
And I'm Antoinette Grajeda. KUAF Night with the Naturals will be Thursday, April 24th at Arvest Ballpark in Springdale. KUAF ticket holders will be seated together as the Naturals host the Springfield Cardinals at 7.05 p.m. KUAF tickets are only available at 927-4063. Or click the banner at KUAF.com to email your ticket order. A portion of ticket sales will benefit your public radio station, KUAF 91.3 FM.
The Rotary Clubs of Northwest Arkansas are hosting Everybody Wins and Polio Now, a carnival-styled fundraiser, April 5th at 6 p.m. at the Pauline Whitaker Horse Arena in Fayetteville. This casual event includes games, entertainment, refreshments, and music by Ultra Suede. Tickets are available at the door or through Facebook. Search Everybody Wins and Polio Now.
Ahead on Ozarks, Bob Livingston's career and life would make a heck of a book. He's a founding member of the Lost Gonzo Band, is a contemporary of a who's who of Texas songwriters, and has led audiences from Syria to Angola in sing-along versions of Buddy Holly's Not Fade Away. Turns out, he is writing a book during a residency at the Dairy Hollow Writers Colony in Eureka Springs and playing music at a benefit show for the colony tomorrow night. We'll talk to him and more on this edition of Ozarks.
First, it's time to welcome Michael Tilley back to the program. He's the editor and publisher of thecitywire.com that covers news, business, politics, and more for the entire listening area. Michael, how are you?
I'm doing well. I did not get blown away last night, so
yeah.
All is good.
Well, good. Ever since Arkansas has gone to this collaborated spring break where almost all students are off at the same time, this has traditionally been spring break week, kind of a slow news week. And while I won't say this was an ordinary news week, it was anything but slow.
Yeah, it wasn't slow. I mean, we had thought we would use this time at the CityWire to pull back a little bit, start doing research for future stories, that kind of thing, but no such luck. We were clicking on all cylinders.
Well, let's start with something that is traditionally something that we talk about, and that's home sales. The latest report has come out.
Right, and home sales up. Now, we with the CityWire, our home sales report, we measure activity in the state's four large markets. That's Central Arkansas, Northwest Arkansas, Fort Smith, and the Jonesboro area. It's roughly 70 to 75% of total sales. And what we're seeing in February, or both January and February, and remember, the weather for both of those months was not conducive to home sales, but yet the home sales in those four large markets are up almost 7% for the year to date. They're up 7.3% in February, and now that's, to put that in a little bit of perspective, we're coming off what was a really strong 2013, in which home sales were up almost 13% for the year. So far, so good. Hopefully, as the weather improves, spring kicks in. If spring does kick in, those home sales numbers will continue. One of the things we are seeing, though, Kyle, is that downward pressure on the prices that we began seeing in late 2013. So, for example, the average sales price in those four markets during February was down 1.8%, and for the year it's down 3.5%. So, you know, that initial run-up in 2013 and part of 2012 when the market began to recover, you know, you expect to see home price gains in there, but I think it's starting to level out.
Well, there are some people that never want to see home sales where the Fianna Country Club is.
Well, hopefully they want to see more home sales, but yeah, this continues to be one of those things that it's just puzzling. You have Fort Smith Redevelopment Partners. Lance Beatty is the primary on this. And keep in mind, these are the same people that took that 35 to 40 acre eyesore that was Phoenix Village Mall in Fort Smith that no one ever wanted to do anything with. And this is the same company, the same guy that bought that and then successfully renovated that. You know, that's now home to the that regional medical center that's operated by Community Health Systems. Sykes has a large call center. There's several more offices going in, new retail center. So there are roughly 1,200 people employed at that Phoenix Village Mall area where there was maybe less than 50 in 2009. So So now they've looked at Fiona Hills Country Club. They want to renovate it, and the place is broke. I spoke to David Millay, the owner, yesterday, and he said he's going to shut it down. He's been subsidizing it for years, and he can't afford to do it any longer. But, you know, Lance has a pretty aggressive plan to turn it around, and here's where I get puzzled. He's wanting to invest, you know, up to $20 million overall to renovate the club and the golf course, and he's getting grief from a small group of folks who may or may not have convinced some Portsmouth board members to vote against it because they want a guarantee that the club will not fail, which I just find interesting. There are no guarantees in business. So I don't know. We'll see. The board is going to vote on this April 1st. We'll see if a small group of folks who I hate to opine on this, but you know, this is just one of those things where, you know, it almost seems ridiculous. Here's a guy that has somewhat of a proven track record. He wants to rescue a country club, and yet he's getting grief for it. So I don't know. We'll see what the board decides next week.
Speaking of voting, on May 20th, of course, is the Arkansas primary, and the Sebastian County ballots are going to have to be reprinted?
Yes. Well, the Sebastian County is going into the election without an election coordinator, so Jerry Huff, who's been trying to resign, will step back in and manage at least the primary. But the former election coordinator, David Mansell, resigned earlier this week. He had a ballot order out of place. They were able to catch that before they went to print. But now they've found that Congressman Tim Griffin, who's running for lieutenant governor, had misspelled his name. It was, and this is not a major deal, but you know, unless you're the candidate, you want your name spelled correctly. They've given him, Griffin, and on some parts of the ballot they put an E for the final I. And so they're having to reprint that. That we didn't put it in the story, but the cost could be anywhere from $10,000 to $20,000 to reprint those ballots. So,
and that comes from the county's budget?
Yeah, there's no, the state, that's their mess up. They have to pay for it. So, and the county budget's already under some pressure. So this is not it's not a welcome thing. But they'll get it fixed. The ballots will be correct. Well, we assume ballots will be correct for the primary. But for Sebastian County, it's been a very rough start. And a little behind the scenes politics that we don't have in our story is the Sebastian County Election Commission did not want to hire David Mansell. They said they wanted to look elsewhere. And Sebastian County Judge David Hudson, kind of in a surprise move, just hired him. And so, you know, so Judge Hudson kind of owns this problem now. So it'll be interesting to see how those two groups get along as they move forward to hire another coordinator.
And finally, a story that we don't know really what the implications are or how far-reaching they are or when we'll even ever know is this decision to allow college football players perhaps in the future to unionize.
Well, and that it's crazy. Just to think about it, it's crazy. And we almost didn't do the story on it, but, you know, it's one of those things now that the National Labor Relations Board has kind of opened the door to this ever being a possibility, you know, it's out there. It's going to be part of the discussion now. And what happened is that there are a group of players at Northwestern University in Chicago, led by Kane Coulter, their former quarterback, essentially said, look, you know, college football is a business. It's a commercial enterprise, and we're the labor for that, and we should be able to unionize. And apparently this NLRB director based in Chicago, a regional director, approved that. Now, Kyle, this is going to go before the full NLRB in D.C., and depending on how they rule, it could go back into the court system. I mean, this could be, you know, we talked to one attorney. You know, he said this could be a decade-long process. But what you're seeing out there on the sports boards and even in business publications is that this could force the NCAA to make some changes in how college athletes are treated. And, you know, not that the NCAA will ever probably institute a union-type process, but there are many things they could change, and, you know, in terms of how do players get a portion of the jersey sales? Do they get a portion of other type of special programs that are not, you know, directly affiliated with their play on the field. So, and it's big business. I mean, you know, Forbes has estimated that the 20 top valuable college football teams generate a combined $1.3 billion in money every year. So, well, I think the players are saying, hey, where's our cut of that?
And understandably, when you reached out to the University of Arkansas for comment, they said, we're going to wait.
Yeah, and I figured they would say that, but, you know, you can't not ask them what their thoughts are. But, yeah, Kevin Trainer, very, very wise comment. He said, hey, there can be a lot of steps between here and there, and we'll just wait on that one. But, you know, this is I think there's a lot of momentum, and there has been building up for years for the NCAA to do something different in terms of how it treats its players. And not that they're mistreated. I mean, there are many people, probably some of your listeners are saying, hey, these guys get a free ride. You know, they get, and if they're good, they get to go on and make millions and call it in pro football. I don't think anyone's exactly feeling sorry for them. I mean, but it's just that the discussion's out there, and my bet is it's going to lead to some form of change. It's just the question is how far will that change go?
Well, and if you're among those who think that the business of recruiting is somewhat circumspect, just throw some more money into it. That'll clean
yeah.
it up.
I like how you said somewhat circumspect. That's a clever way to say it could be rotten to the core, but you say somewhat circumspect, I say tomato.
Okay. Michael Tilley is a linguist as well as the editor and publisher of the City Wire that covers business, politics, sports, and more for the listening area. Michael, thank you very much.
All right. Always a pleasure.